There was a time not that long ago when the news media was a respected institution in the United States. 40 years later, that is no longer the case. Georgetown government and public policy professor Jonathan Ladd's new book is Why Americans Hate the Media and How It Matters. The book examines waning public trust in the institutional news media within the context of the American political system and looks at how this lack of confidence has altered the ways people acquire political information and form electoral preferences. Jonathan Ladd, it is a great pleasure to welcome you to the program. I thank you very much for being here.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Give us a sense of what brought you to this subject specifically of this hatred that Americans seem to have with the media.
Well, I mean, pollsters measure that a lot of different ways. I mean, sometimes they measure, you know, just lack of trust, lack of confidence, but all surveys, no matter how they ask it, tend to find that people have negative feelings, negative attitudes toward the press. I was interested in it because political scientists have for a long time tried to measure media influence and exactly how persuaded people are by news coverage. And political scientists and psychologists have done that in a variety of ways, often with laboratory experiments, some with large surveys. But very few people have looked at, well, how the fact that people have very negative feelings toward the press now might change how people are persuaded or not persuaded by the press. And I thought, this is this big trend, but no one really understands its consequences for media persuasion. And I thought that would be an important phenomenon. If we really understand how influential the news media is now, you have to understand that it's influential in the context of a lot of people having this base level of distrust of national news organizations and news organizations they view, as well as news organizations they view as ideologically hostile to them. And that's a wide range of the public has these views. So given that, how do they learn and how are they influenced differently? And I thought that was a fascinating question.
There are many fascinating things in the book that you write about in regards to this subject. And when, just in the introduction, as I mentioned, that 40 years ago or longer ago, the press was a respected institution. How much of that demise, if you will, is the change in us, do you think? And how much of it is a specific change within news media itself?
Well, there have been changes in the news media itself, but those changes in news media itself have causes which are not that. It's not that journalists used to be just good people, and they used to report things, you know, in a less sensationalist, less ideological way, and now they are not. Rather, the news media, whether they are reporting the more conventional style that tries to adhere to what sociologist Michael Schutzen called the ideal of objectivity, right? If they're trying to follow the ideal of objectivity or not, either way, they're working in this new world, right? And I say two big things have changed. Structural things have changed. First, they're operating in a world where the political parties disagree much more than they used to on the most important political issues, and they disagree not just in their opinions, but the parties disagree also in their beliefs about basic facts, and the parties are trying to get out different messages about basic facts as well as opinions. So the media has to operate in that environment where the stakes in elections are very high and the parties disagree not just about opinions and about facts. And the second different big change in the environment is that the media is operating in a very different media industry, right? In the 50s and 60s, there was relatively less competition. There were a small number of television stations. There was much less news, public affairs, and talk radio, and there was no internet sources, very few cable sources. Now that's all changed, and the news media exists in an environment where there's lots of competition which creates a need to cover what will get ratings enough to stay on the air and not go out of business, as well as competition from ideological outlets that often, as part of their business strategy, will try to attack the credibility of other sources of news as a way of getting more audience and getting people to only trust them. So there have been a variety of, for example, there have been a variety of studies of, just as a great case, because it tends to be the most highly rated radio talk show host, Rush Limbaugh. Surveys typically say that about 10% of Americans say they, on a regular basis, listen to Rush Limbaugh. And a variety of content analyses tend to find that criticizing the mainstream media is either the number one or the number two most frequent topic discussed on the show, right? And I think it's not unusual. So, So the news industry changing and the political environment changing a lot has all had influence on journalists and how they report things, as well as influenced the public and how they see mainstream journalists and how they see alternative journalists as well.
Okay, so let's take it a step further, because it's the first question that you ask in the book in a chapter entitled, Why Is Everyone Mad? Change is one thing. Everything changes. Cars change. Soap changes. Cereals change. Everything changes. Where does the anger come in?
Well, the reason attitudes toward the press have got a lot more negative, there are a number of causes, and what I did was run some survey experiments to try to see when people thought about certain things, did their attitudes towards the press change? So remind people of things and see when things, certain things are on the top of their head, did people lean toward the press change? And the two things that most reliably altered people's feelings toward the press were if they were thinking about the fact that someone in their party had criticized the press and said that the press coverage was unfair. That changed their opinion toward the press. And we get a lot more of that than we used to. The other thing that really reliably changed people's feelings toward the press was if they were thinking about more tabloid-style news coverage, so coverage of celebrities, coverage of scandals, that sort of thing, which is covered by more by some media outlets than by other media outlets, but overall, variety of studies have found, is more prevalent now than it used to be. So those are the big things. And a couple of things that are, it's harder to actually change people's opinion about, change people's opinion with, are making them think about coverage that's actually hostile to their party, like coverage that might be biased against their party. I'm not saying there isn't news bias, and there may definitely be news bias, but it's not the thing that most reliably actually change people's feelings toward the press. It's really when their party points out potential problems with news coverage, politicians they trust or pundits they trust point out problems with news coverage, or when they seek coverage that is less serious. Now, that's not to say people won't tune into that. That can be sort of a guilty pleasure, like celebrity coverage, tabloid-style coverage, can often get ratings, and that's why it's put on. But the things that get ratings aren't necessarily the things that make people hold the press in high esteem. Often there can be things like that that have those opposite effects. People tune in, but they trust the press less. They hold the press in lower esteem.
So if you have a show like Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Rachel Maddow, and even to some extent, I believe, whether it be The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, while not a news organization, although an argument can be made, you look at programs who are taking the press to task for not believing in what that host believes in. And so what you're saying is that that has an effect that erodes the public's trust in the media as a whole. But also, doesn't that then backfire, because does that help the actual network and the host who is dispensing that information?
Well, it may increase the ratings and individual trust associated with that individual host, whether it's Rush Limbaugh or Jon Stewart, yes. And, I'm not saying that people like Rush Limbaugh or Jon Stewart aren't pointing out real problems in coverage. They may well be, and they may be right to point those out. I'm just saying that there is a cut that does that is one of the things that affects people's opinion toward the press. John Stewart's a great example in that, really, people often think that he makes fun of politicians, mainly, or on the show, or things like that, but if you actually, day-to-day, you know, add up the segments and things like that, by far the most common thing criticized and ridiculed, right, is press coverage. It's nice right. comparison with, you know, Saturday Night Live, which has been on since the 70s, when it came on in the 70s, and into the 80s, and even still now there's a legacy of that, but it was from an earlier era where it mainly made fun of politicians. And now our main sort of satirical shows actually most of the time make fun of the media rather than politicians, which shows us the change in our culture and the place of the news media in the culture as reflected in public opinion.
We're going to have David Brock on in a few minutes talking about his new book, The Fox Effect, how Roger Ailes turned a network into a propaganda machine. Obviously, he has an axe to grind, but what is the, when you look at the proliferation of cable news, of whether it be, and when you say that Jon Stewart does poke fun a large part of the media, it's mostly cable news networks, CNN, Fox, and MSNBC. So when you look at their contribution, because viewership doesn't seem to be that high, really, comparatively speaking. But impact does seem to be high.
No, yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting phenomenon with the cable news in that the ratings, especially in the daytime, ratings for cable news are quite low and not that high in the evening. They're still a good deal lower than the network evening newscasts, which, you know, people often think of as, you know, dinosaurs and right. going away. And they're... ratings have declined a lot over time, but even with those declines, a lot more people tune in to them, the actual cable news show. But you pointed out a great point, which is politicians and people in Washington and often are the ones who do turn into cable news. So often they respond to the coverage on cable news networks, even though it's a small slice, actually, of the public at large. And it tends to be the people who are most politically engaged. There's nothing wrong with that, but people should keep in mind that people who are very politically engaged and thus more likely to tune into cable news are the least likely to be able to have their minds changed because people who are politically engaged and interested in politics are highly likely to already have a strong political preference one way or another. And so it's unlikely that cable news coverage, whatever ends up getting on the cable news, changes too many people's opinions unless that filters out more broadly into more widely viewed media or disseminated into social networks and that sort of thing.
So two points. One is that the politicians themselves, we don't like them either.
Yes, that's true. And
so doesn't that go hand in hand?
Well, one thing that may be contributing to both, right, is that both are either direct or indirect consequences of the parties becoming more polarized, as I mentioned. So, if you want to know one fact about the political system now compared to the 1950s, 1960s, mid-20th century, it's that the parties have more intense disagreements on policy. Mm-hmm. Right, and in that environment, they're going to have more incentive to attack the press, to discredit independent sources of information. They're also simply going to not be able to agree on any one set of facts that the news might cover. And also, more people will be offended and disagree with what various politicians are saying, because as the politicians become more polarized. This is a controversial academic topic, but there's reason to think that the public gets somewhat more polarized as a result of that. And as a result, there are fewer politicians that can gain widespread support because we, you know, are more polarized. Now, there's no reason to be too alarmist about that. There are a lot of countries that have fairly polarized party systems that go along as democracies just fine. But it's important to not be in denial about that, that we do have a more polarized party system, and it's going to have these type of consequences.
You've used the term several times during our conversation about the impact of the media in changing our opinion, and that often what they do is unable to change our opinion. But what about the goal of informing people, of not giving them an opinion as much as the facts and the information, and allow them to come up with their own opinion?
Sure. And those are it's important to differentiate between those, right? So, academics, political scientists and psychologists often do study, in the laboratory or in other formats, like if news coverage tends to be more favorable toward one candidate or the other, does that tend to contribute to more votes toward the other candidate, right? That's opinions. But we all should be really concerned with just getting the facts out. And political scientists are really concerned about this because one of the big ways that we tend to think democracy works well is that the public tends to reward and punish elected office holders, especially the president, based on whether the economy is going well or going poorly, and based on whether overseas conflicts are going well or poorly. So the president tends to do a lot worse if the economy is doing poorly or the U.S. has suffered a lot of overseas casualties. Those hurt the president a lot. And so we want to think about, can the media actually inform people about basic facts like this? One of the things I talk about in my book is that declining trust in the press has a consequence for this. There's a tendency in our more polarized party system for people, and there was somewhat of a tendency all along, but it's certainly there now, for people to have polarized beliefs according to partisanship. Like when Bush was, for example, when Bush was president, Republicans tended to think the economy was doing better than Democrats did. And Republicans tended to think we were safer from foreign enemies than Democrats did. And Republicans tended to think that we were better off in terms of the deficit than Democrats did. Right? We have differences in beliefs. Things were reversed during the Clinton administration. During the Clinton administration, you asked about all these facts about how the country is doing. Democrats tend to think things are going relatively better. Republicans tend to think things are going relatively worse, right? Even when the question is just about facts, not about who should get credit or blame or people's opinions. You know, the parties disagree about facts. One thing I find in the book is that a consistent pattern is that people who distrust the press tend to have more polarized beliefs by partisanship. So these partisan beliefs are more extreme among people who distrust the press. I think that one reason this happens is that if you distrust the press, you're more likely to only get your information from partisan sources that might reinforce your predispositions, and you may just distrust all information you encounter in your environment, and therefore just form your beliefs not based on any external new source of information, but based on just, I know the president, I like the president or I don't, and thus things must be going this way. And so you form your beliefs internally, or you tune into sources that will give you facts that reinforce your beliefs. So that is something that's concerning, because to the extent we get more extreme in our polarization and beliefs, you might be worried that it probably hasn't happened yet, but it could potentially undermine people's ability to reward and punish politicians based on results.
The name of the book is Why Americans Hate the Media and How It Matters. It's published by Princeton. Professor Jonathan Ladd, I thank you very much for joining us this morning. Fascinating stuff.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.